Hello, this is Richard Alabone on webtalkradio.net. This week is about the scientific side of healing, showing that there is much statistical proof of the healing power that can affect seeds and cells. The skeptics cannot say that healing is due to a placebo effect because it cannot apply to seeds or cells or any prior treatment. A scientific test is a scientific test, and that's it. Also, I'm going to talk about how and why healing works. What is it that gives the healing effect? My guest is Robert Sharman, who has studied all aspects of healing, including the special brainwave or EEG patterns involved.
Hello, Bob.
Oh, hello, Richard.
Anyway, I hoped today perhaps we could talk a little bit about healing, and particularly what you wrote as what you called psi-mediated brainwave synchrony. That's a big mouthful for just saying brains come into some sort of common state. Is that right?
Yes. But more than just that, they actually come into synchrony as if they've been trained with each other. So the way their actual frequencies are in time, like soldiers marching.
But first, perhaps we could talk about some of the healing effects on things like seeds and so on. Healers have very often been reported as helping seeds grow just by holding them or thinking about them.
Yes, there's been quite a lot of studies done on this. In actual fact, I'm chair of the Confederation of Healing Organizations, which is a body devoted to sort of research into healing and so on. We were left about £500,000 of bequests a few years ago, which we're trying to use. And we've decided approached Chris Rowe, Dr. Chris Rowe, who's reader in psychology at the University of Northampton, to say that we're willing to fund a complete meta-analysis of all published studies on healing. They've accepted this, and they've done the first part of the meta-analysis, which was divided into two phases. The first was looking entirely on the effect of healers on seeds, cells, rate of animal skin healing, and so on. And their report to us with a fortnight ago was to say that the results statistically are very encouraging. There is a strong effect size, much larger than they expected. And in actual fact, Chris said to us that the effects increase as methodological quality improves. So that's interesting. So it can't be sort of just put aside as just a statistical quirk. They found 62 studies so far. And now they're going on to phase two, where they're going to look at all the published studies on humans. So this obviously will possibly be more difficult because you can always invoke the placebo effect, but you certainly can't do that with seeds and cells. So we're hoping this meta-analysis will be completed by the end of the year and will be published next year. So I think this is very encouraging because it does give a strong sort of research background for the claims of healers.
Yes, one of the things about psi research is that it has to be done in a much more scientific way than is very often done, because we have a great army of skeptics who pull to pieces any methodology that isn't quite correct. I'm sure you agree with that one.
I do. And of course, once you've publicly committed yourself to saying, well, psi and ESP is a load of nonsense, there's no research basis for it, et cetera, you can't retract your statement, because once you're committed that way, if you then say, well, I do think after all there's some research support in ESP, then people will say, oh, you've just gone soft and your professional credibility will be down the pan. So once you're committed to this, there isn't any way back.
But it is very encouraging that healing.
Well, I think it is, because you see, Daniel Benoit and other people have done it, but they're individuals. This has been done by a university department to a really high academic standard, which gives it much more credibility.
No, that's fine. And some of the studies were on growth of bone, I believe.
That's right. There's a big bones. Study came out a couple of years ago by orthopedic lady, Gloria Gronovich. And she put bone cells and tendon cells and fibroblasts, which are soft tissue cells, into cultures. And they had some healers who worked there who put their hands sort of close to the test tube sort of thing. And it was all done under correct controls over several years, dozens of studies done. And she found consistently that the effect of the healers was to increase the proliferation of those cells compared to controls. And I think that's one of the major studies which will be included in the meta-analysis.
Yeah, sure. And of course, that brings us on to the question, what actually happens? Is it some sort of telepathy or whatever which helps the growth of the cells?
Well, we don't know. I mean, they're not including this, I don't think, directly, but there has been work done on enzyme systems to show that an enzyme reaction is accelerated with healing intention. So it may be it does that, but I mean, how one is grasping for any sort of theory. I mean, everybody turns towards quantum physics and so on, but we have no idea. What we have is the data without the theory as yet.
Mm. Well, I have my own theories, which I put forward, which may or may not be right, of course. But I think there's... there was a reasonable explanation, but that's another story. But the bit that particularly interests me is the way in which human healing, we get this brain synchrony. How is it? Why is it that two brains can get into some sort of synchronism, which can then be recorded or noted?
Well, I mean... this is fascinating stuff. I came across this originally when I just happened to find a book by Maxwell Kay called The Awakened Mind. And he had done, this is the 1970s and 80s, he and some colleagues had developed a EEG unit they called the Mind Mirror, which would actually throw up the frequencies on the screen, on the monitor. And he found that this, I think he was probably the first to really find this, that in actual fact, healers and healees do appear to go into sort of synchrony. What happened, their brain, their hemisphere, their total brain goes into a synchronized beat at around 8 hertz. And when the healer's in this strong beat pattern, as she goes into, he or she goes into my healing mindset, this appears to happen with the healee as well. And if I may take the time to quote just a small bit from his book, which is brings it out extremely strongly, he said the highlight of the research experiment was took place at the Reckon Trust 6th Annual Health and Healing Conference at Loughborough University, when a healer, Rose Gladden, agreed to demonstrate with the doctor's wife, a lady, Nora Forbes, got up on the platform. Both brains were connected up. And at the point when both of them realized the healing session started, their brainwaves came into synchrony on the screens, and over 400 people were watching this. I mean, this is a fact which just doesn't go away, however much you try and disbelieve it. And there's another example where he had a healer in one room, the healee in another, and at a time unknown to the healee, I think like when the clock struck four, the healer started to heal, and the healee also went into same brain synchrony. So there is, and there's a lot of research around that, which does seem to demonstrate this quite well. We don't know, but it does, even if you exclude minds, it seems to be some property, at least of brain function, where another brain somehow gets entrained at the same frequency pattern.
Yeah. I think my feeling is that it has to be the same sort of mechanism that is associated with telepathy, which people are familiar with. We don't know how it works or why it works, but it is all the same. In fact, that's why you use the word psi-mediated.
That's right. Well, it seems to be, I mean, obviously, if two brains across space do come into synchrony, and we have all the Grinberg-Zilberbaum studies and so on, then obviously it must be a, presumably, an actual sort of property of the brain itself when it's operating in a certain state. I mean, because we're actually picking up the EEG patterns coming into synchrony, then, and there's the two brains that are doing it, one coming into trainment with the other, it does seem to be a brain property, even though we don't know how it's done.
Yes, reading an article about this, Zilberborn, in fact, used a D-Mills experiment. I wonder, I didn't know what D-M-I-L-S stands for. It's really...
distant mental intention on another living system, I think it is.
Ah, yes. So it's just a way of saying telepathy in a different way, or whatever it is.
Psychokinetic.
It causes
the psychokinetic effect.
Yeah. I went to Maxwell Cade. You mentioned Maxwell. And I went there and did a course on healing and got familiar with his mind mirror, which he designed, which was the instrument which shows the two hemispheres and indicates a meditative state or healing state, which is effectively the same thing. And so when you get two people, a healer and healee, then they can be easily seen, the fact that their minds are working synchronously. He didn't do that in the class, but we were just learning the details of healing. So in fact, we were wired up to the mind mirror on one or two occasions, not regularly, because it's all a bit of a palaver. He did tell us about the public demonstration. And then I think there's some other people that have done work on this sort of thing. Irvin Laszlo?
Irvin Laszlo, yes. Well, he mentioned in his book, The Whispering Pond, which I think came out in 1996, I think, work where he actually observed 12 meditators go into, obviously, deep state of meditation with their brain waves recorded on monitors. And at a certain point, they all started to come into synchrony again, around 8 hertz or so as the dominant frequency. And this correlated with their reportage that as it happened, obviously unknown to them because they couldn't see the monitors, they had their eyes shut, it was as they suddenly became aware not just of themselves, but of the whole group. So it seems to be correlated with the mental extension of going outside themselves and becoming as one, as it were. And I think for 11 of the 12, it was a 91% harmony across the lot. One was slightly odd, which didn't quite fit in, which brought the whole group down to about 85%. But it was quite an astonishment example of meditators coming into synchrony rather than just being in the same brain state of mind, which is what you'd expect. It does seem to be the synchronization, which is the sort of indicating that their brains are, in fact, working together. And therefore, I presume their mind set as well.
I become more and more fascinated by this business, as I know you are, trying to sort out what is what.
Well, I mean... The thing, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not a healer and I've never had an ESP experience in my life. So if my genes code for it, mine just are distinctly recessive. But it seems to me that the evidence is there, if you look at it with a sort of unbiased mind. The fact that we haven't an explanation doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
No.
I think that the skeptics desperately try and deny it all, instead of saying, well, this is very odd anomalies here. These persistent anomalies do not go away. There has to be an explanation for them, and we can't account for it by any of the orthodox theories, either psychology or physiology.
So we need an orthodox theory to account for these things. And the start of that theory is concerning the whole of life, where the growth of an animal is not from its DNA, but to use an analogy, with reference to the library of information which comes from all the members of its species. This idea has been around for years, but it's only recently that it's been suggested that DNA cannot be the book containing all the information. DNA is only the digital library book number, where all the books are floating about in the ether. That's a pretty unorthodox theory, I know, but it's supported by loads of evidence. Firstly, the evidence of life itself. Secondly, we know about the carrier of the library books, which are the digital fields of quantum particles that spin off planets and gyroscopes. The science is all there, but to say the least of it, it's unorthodox. Assuming it's right, it does explain how instinctive information is read by an individual from the species book, but also it could explain how information sometimes leaks from mind to mind, which we call telepathy. It's all the same process, using the carrier of the library books, with the DNA library book number ensuring we look at the right book. Where the DNAs are close matches, as with members of a family, then the family book will be selected from the library, which explains why telepathy is most likely between members of a family, or more especially between identical twins. The more you look at these things in this way, the more the theory fits the facts. So now, what has this to do with healing, where the healer focuses his attention on the person needing to be healed? By going into deep trance himself, he is able to telepathically induce that same state in the healee, and to make unconscious healing suggestions in a similar way that a hypnotist might do it, but the hypnotist does it verbally. When it comes to a healer increasing the productivity of seeds, he focuses his empathy on the seeds, which increases the passage of library books past the seeds, or in other words, the passage of the quantum particles, in order that there is an increase in the likelihood that the seeds will germinate. This theory might be unorthodox, Bob, but it does explain the evidence of healing.
I wonder if you could let me know exactly what's happened about the mind mirror. Now, I went to Max Cade when the mind mirror was fairly new, and I wondered if they're still available.
This was an Italian investigator called Monte Caccio, MOTECUCCO, I think it is. He's written a book about it, but unfortunately it's in Italian. And it was just that Laszlo was in Italy and actually saw this, and it was demonstrated to him more than once. He didn't use a mind mirror. It was obviously an Italian version of whatever EEG equipment, you know. His widow, Max's widow, and her partner, David someone, I think, they still use a sort of modern digital version of the mind mirror now. They live down near Bath. But and I've spoken to her on the phone, but they feel that what their experience since Max's time does support this fact that the healer and healees do go into concordance with each other.
I found a similar thing where in India they have a similar system. They call it Darshan, where a guru can bring about some sort of change in the mind of a person that one of his subjects, and he will perhaps use laying on of hands, but this brings about a permanent change in the feelings and so on of follower, and this I think is the same mechanism. I don't recall anybody ever using a mind mirror or some sort of technical equipment to show this, but I'm quite certain it is the same.
Well, it does seem to be. I mean, Max found that some of the swamis and gurus who came to his classes, they could hold a sort of steady mindset and a steady sort of bilateral hemisphere synchrony, and then just put their hands on someone else's shoulders, one of the group, and they would come into the same sort of pattern. I mean, this research dropped away, of course, after Max died, and Isabel, I think, moved on a little bit to other things. But it seems to me that it should be taken up by parapsychology again to thoroughly investigate. Because, I mean, it either happens or it doesn't. I mean, other things like Ganzfeld and so on, people argue over the statistics endlessly, but people's minds, their brains either go into synchrony or they don't, you know. And you've got a factual sort of a factual base.
I've always felt this was an important aspect of psi or telepathy or whatever you'd like to call it, because it's something which has been demonstrated even publicly and written up and so on, and the equipment is available. So, as you suggest, the parapsychologist could take this up as a fairly large...
They certainly could. Going back to that thing about sort of a parapsychologist doing research, I've just written to Chris Rowe to point out that I think it was in last week's New Scientist, 17th of September issue, they've developed a new app at the Technical University of Denmark that can be downloaded into a Nokia 900 smartphone, and it can power a commercially available EEG headset. So it can be a continuously recording system which can then be downloaded into computer for analysis. Now, if you had that with healers and with healies, or whether you're just trying to demonstrate telepathy and so on, for the first time, we've just got a little sort of mobile phone thing.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
I mean, that is brilliant.
It's intended for use with in meditation studies, this sort of thing, where...
I think it's been used in sort of normal EEG studies, for example, you know, for the clinical and so on. But the advantage is, of course, that it's completely mobile. Once you have, shall we say healers were willing to be involved in the research studies, once it's on and just got used to it, and the healees came along and were willing to as well, and they just relaxed and so on, you would actually have the records there. You know, and if you've been in a clinical situation rather than sitting in a laboratory, which from the healer's point of view, because it's all psychological, is much better. Because once you feel you're being watched, you know, observed by people, especially if they're a bit sceptical, then you're desperately trying to prove something. It doesn't happen. Whereas if you're in your own clinical room and the healer's there on the couch, you're relaxed and everything's familiar, then it's far more likely to happen. And I think this would be a brilliant thing for parapsychologists to take up.
Yes, I'm sure you're right. So we'll hope for great things in the future on that one. But anyway, well, thanks very much, Bob. That's given our listeners some food for thought, I'm sure.
I hope so, because after all, in the UK alone, there's about over 12,000 healers. So it is important. And they're being used in cancer departments. For example, University College Hospital London uses healers in their oncology unit, and they wouldn't be without them. They don't know how it works, but the side effects and so on are much less. And the patients themselves say, well, something happens to them. They feel something go into them. So, you know, the more research we do on this, and it's important to people's lives, the better.
Oh, well, I haven't heard of that one, but it's very, very good to learn that hospitals are beginning to use the old-fashioned healing system. Wonderful.
Well, I think it is, actually. I mean, the fact they actually have the nerve to take it on despite the sceptics. And a lady called Angie Buxton King is the person who set it off. She's written a book about healing because her own son died many years ago of leukemia, and his life has extended much longer than expected through her being a healer. I think she does Reiki, and she approached them, and they took it on. Got absolutely determined that it wasn't going to work. They found it did, and they actually got salaried staff, which is absolutely astonishing. And it's now being used in other up in Leeds. Also, the lady up there who works in the oncology department, and there's a big study going on in near Birmingham at hospital there. Where they're looking at healing and irritable bowel syndrome and so on, because one healer, Sandy Edwards, got such excellent results, they've now got a £205,000 lottery funded research being done by Birmingham University, at the Good Hope Hospital, I think it's called. So there is a lot going on, and it does affect people's lives.
Yes, I've always felt that healing was something very important, and it was an important part of parapsychology. I look at parapsychology from afar, as it were. I look at all the different areas, but healing is obviously a very important part of it. And the method of transmission, be it telepathy or whatever, this is the bit that really fascinates me.
And, yes, and me.
And it even works with seeds and cells and so on. That is equally fascinating.
I mean, we certainly can't give them a placebo response, can we?
No.
Well, so something's happening there. What it means is that even if with humans there is a placebo effect, which afterwards is very powerful, if there's also a physiological effect, as demonstrated by this meta-analysis in their phase one, you have in effect a double whammy. Something's happened to the cells of the body, the immune system and so on, as well as a placebo effect, which should reinforce it.
Okay, Bob.
I think
you mentioned that you're the chair of the Confederation of Healing Organizations, which
That's
is...
That's right, yes.
Is that just a British organization, or is it
That's a British
worldwide?
One, yes. It's a British one. I've been operating for over 20 years now. And I say we fund research, we fund advanced courses for healers, trying to contact people and say, well, look, do at least try healers and hospices and so on. We'll even fund them there for 6 months as a pilot study. You know, we are sort of dedicated to putting it onto a good scientific footing.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you very much
for
all that. Bye-bye.
And thanks to Robert Sharman for giving us so much information about the practice and science of healing. I was amazed to learn that healers are permitted to go into British hospitals to help cancer patients, and that there is acceptance that the help is real. Not only that, it is interesting that particular healers are better with particular illnesses. Bob mentioned that one healer treats irritable bowel syndrome, and a member of my family has suffered with this for years, so I know how difficult the hospitals find that problem is. Now I want to go and talk about Max Cade and the incredible mind mirror machine, or EEG, that he was using when I went to his classes 35 years ago. It enabled Max to find out fundamental new things about meditation, trance, and healing, and paved the way to many things we just accept today. I used Mind Mirror 1 and 2, which was the best that could be done at that time. The Mind Mirror 3 is far better, using a liquid crystal or a normal computer display screen. The website is very interesting. It's 3Ws mindmirroreeg.com. That's 3Ws mindmirroreeg, all one word, .com. There are, of course, other similar machines that do the same job, working with a computer or even television, I believe. The whole business is becoming more up-to-date, more acceptable, and more normal. These machines show deep meditation, which is where the EEG is symmetrical on each side of the head, peaking at 6 or 7 cycles per second. This level of meditation would normally take years of training, whereas Max Cade said that his methods reduced the time from years to as many weeks to achieve that deep meditation with balanced symmetry. But in the healing situation, this condition is achieved without training, indicating that the healer is able to telepathically bring about the required state of mind in the patient, and then that same telepathic link appears to guide the healing process. there is too much recorded evidence for healing to think that there could be any other answer. Telepathy is not about communication. Tele means distant, and pathy means feeling, as in sympathy or empathy. So it's the empathy transmitted by the healer that does the work. I hope you didn't find all this too technical, but it's that sort of subject. A big thank you to my guest, Bob Sharman. Listen again next week about the paranormal. This is Richard Alabone, winding up on webtalkradio.net. Bye for now.